actually.
Oh, wow. Shall I go sit down?
No. I just felt in worship that I really feel that in this season in the church that, that God is challenging us all, and I speak to myself here because I'm going through some challenging stuff myself at the moment, that he is challenging us to embrace the capacity of who he's called us to be. And this is going to be scary for us all. And it's almost like we don't need to continue to walk around the mountain and continue to do what we're doing. But I just feel that in this season in the church, he is drawing us closer to his heartbeat. And in that, he's going to break off this fear that we've held on to for so many, even generations, that the church has to be radical. And we have to be a people of purpose. We have to be a people of focus, kingdom focus. And it ain't about us, guys. It ain't about us, because it's about eternity. And it's about us surrendering and humbling ourselves before the Almighty. And we're doing that already, but in that he's going to empower us. But you know what? This is a relational thing, and he can keep empowering us time and time again. But unless we do something with what he's actually brought into our lives and the true treasure within our hearts, nothing will happen out there. We can't hold on to this any longer. And I just believe that in the season of your church at the moment, this is a time of filling up. But, you know, it's just about and others, and it's about making a difference and being the people God has called us to be. And the word I got was being the capacity that he's called you to be, and not holding back any longer, not being fearful. And, you know, until we start to take those steps forward, we won't see the sovereignty of his lordship. It's a partnership. And if we just keep praising him and humbling ourselves and surrender our hearts, that's great. But, you know, if we don't do anything with it, nothing will happen. And I just feel the Lord saying, you know, it's great to be humbled. It's great to realize that we're nothing without him. But until we actually take that step forward and we call out on him for the Savior to embrace our community, we are the people. Without us, he won't do it. It's up to us. And we are all, we have his capacity, and it's just coming to that recognition that we are it. And without us, that's it. Do you know what I mean? And I just feel that I want to share that. And I speak to myself because I'm going through a lot of challenge myself. And I just believe we need to step out and just be bold, believe, and then trust the sovereign.
Amen. Thank you. Well done. Very good. Bob, would you like to share next? Do you want to stand against the wall at the back there? Put your back there. Yeah. He'll just slide down the wall now, won't he? Shall I hold you up?
No, I think I'll be okay. Just about. Yeah, I better hold on to this. So,
do you want me to hold?
No. if you've never seen that happen, that's been happening to me for 40 years. And I think what it was is that when I first became a Christian, I'd never heard of Jesus. I'd never read the Bible. I could hardly read anyway. I'd never had any Christian input at all. So when I found Jesus and he found me, I had nothing to argue with him about. Nothing. No rubbish to sort out at all. I was filled with the Holy Spirit sort of the first week. And that's when, soon as the worship started, I just, the presence of God, I mean, is it, where's the one who did the worship? Is he gone out? Oh, is it Stephen?
Simon.
Right. There's such an anointing. There's such an anointing. And as soon as he starts to sing, that's it. You know, I'll have to get, I'll have to bring an airbag, because this floor is hard. And, that's just the presence of God. And when the presence of God turns out, that means he's going to do something. He's going to do something. And Riverside at Bridgewater this morning, he done something. And I walked in the door, and they were practicing. Splat, straight on the floor as I walked in the door. And then later on in the meeting, I was down again. And when it first started, I'd be lying on the floor and thinking, what am I doing down there? What's this all about? But, you know, we've heard a word scary. You know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it starts off being scary. And when God says to you, go over and tell that young man, he's not being proper with his girlfriend. It's not something I did in front of everybody. I took him to one side. I said, your relationship with your girlfriend has become sexual. And he said, yeah. I said, well, you need to do something with that. You know, when God gives us these things, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can either follow God or we can just forget it. But I tell you what, when you begin to follow God, that's when things really happen. I could talk a lot about what God's been doing, especially in the healing ministry, which God's blessed me with. So Bridgewater, yeah. I mean, okay, this morning was actually in tears this morning. God really touched me. I was on the floor. I was actually in tears because God was dealing with something. And I was able to share that. There was only five of us there. But there was just a sense of God there. And, you know, when we have real fellowship with God and with one another, we can just share anything. Because we have that trust, what God builds up in us. And then somebody else opened up and was just sharing something. And this is what it's about. You know, God needs us to respond when he's moving. And when we respond, when we step out, there's a word about stepping out. And when we step out, that's when he steps in. And that's what this morning was all about. It was really powerful. And it's lovely. I went, I'll just share something, Saturday, 3 weeks ago in Bridgewater. My brother's in a nursing home in Bridgewater. So I pop over to see everybody after my own meeting down at Highbridge. And then I go and see my brother. And I sat in the lounge and they carried a lady in. She had her leg all in one of these temporary splints with all Velcro around it. And so they basically carried her and sat her in on the other side of the lounge. And I looked at her, I could see she was in pain, and they propped her leg up on a stool. And I was saying, now, how can I get over there to pray for her? I just really wanted to go. The room was full of people, and I would love to go over there and pray for her. And I just looked away, and then there was a thump, and I turned around, and the stool had just was on the floor with his legs up in the air, and her bad leg was resting on the floor. And I thought, I wonder how that happened, because she was still sat in a chair, and I don't know how it happened. So that was it. Up, I guess, goes over, turns the stool up, puts her leg back on the stool, and starts chatting to her. She's well into her 80s, but she's still had her marbles, because there's an awful lot in there, sadly, with dementia. So I just started to chat to her about what God was doing. And I asked her if I could pray for her leg, and she said, yeah. So I just prayed for her leg. And suddenly she had a smile on her hand. She grabbed my hand, she kissed it. I thought, oh, well. And I chatted to her a bit more, and then I had to go. I went in the following week, and she was in the dining room with about six other people around the table. So I just went up to her and asked her how she was. She said, fine. And then one of the staff walked by and she said, oh, we've taken her splint off. Her leg's okay. And I said, yeah, that's because I prayed for her. Mm. And anyway, I went and see my brother, and then she came walking in. So I went over to her and just started chatting to her. And I said, I expect you went to Sunday school, which at that age you usually have. Yeah, she said. Well, I said, well, did you hear anything about Jesus? And I spent quite a long time with her just to see where she was. And in the end, I was able to lead her to the Lord. You know, and that's always the icing on the cake when that happens. That's absolutely wonderful. Demonstrate the power of God. Softens people's hearts and they can accept the Lord. I went in there today, and she was sat in the dining room, and she waved at me as I went in, and I went off to see my brother. Went back into the dining room, and she was still in there. So I went over to her, and she said, I'm fine. Great big smile on her face, absolutely fine. And then another one of the staff come in and said, I think there was three staff actually in the room. She said, we can't understand. Her leg's fine, and she actually is walking without a frame. She always had a frame before, but now she's walking without a frame. And I said, yeah, I prayed for her. I'm a Christian, and I pray for people. And she said, and then another one of the staff shouted, have you been praying for your brother? I said, yeah, because he's completely different. Because about 6 weeks ago, he was eating nothing and losing weight, not talking, and being really, you know, keeping himself to himself. And now he's putting on weight, and he's eating everything that was put in front of him, and he's smiling, and he's telling jokes, and he's walking about. That's what God does.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. You know, I want to encourage you to pray for people. But also, like what's being said, I mean, God spoke here this evening about stepping out. It doesn't happen until we step out of the boat. It really doesn't. I mean, I'm not going to spend any more time, because I can just talk for hours about what God does and what God's been doing. And he wants to do it through each one of us. He wants to use each one of us. He really does. I mean, we just need to step out of the boat. I was preaching this morning about we sit on... No, I got to be here all the time. And actually, I was preaching on God's faithfulness. And because David didn't tell me until Tuesday that I was preaching, so I only had a short preach. But anyway, that was okay. I woke up this morning and God put something on my heart, really about trust going along with faith. And he was talking to me about how we trust our chairs. And look at us, we're sat on all these chairs. And we come in here and we sit down on our chair. You trust that chair. You don't expect that chair to collapse on you, do you? Well, as a builder, I've been in people's places and I needed to get up to the ceiling. And the first thing I do is drag a chair and jump on it. And some of these old chairs, they got like a... Richard's laughing because he's most probably done the same. And you jump on it and your foot goes straight through. But, you know, we come in here and we expect that chair to take our weight. We trust it. We don't question whether the chair is going to fall over. We just trust it. We put our trust in that chair. And that's what we want to do with God. He wants us to trust. You know, he's so faithful, because I've been preaching about faithfulness. He's so faithful. We can lean on him. We can stand on him. We can go to him. We can put all our trust in him. We can put our confidence in him, just the same way as you do on that chair. It's exactly the same. And that chair bears your weight. And Jesus bears our weight. But we have to go to him. We have to lay it on him. If we're scared about something, give it to him. If we've got a need, pray about it. Going down the road, I need a parking space. I did that once. And there's a road, Richard, no, Kingsway Road, and it's just chock-a-block both sides. You never park there. Lord, I need a parking space outside of this particular house, which the lady was buying our house. I goes around the corner, parking space right outside her house. So I goes up and bang the door. I said, I've just had a miracle. Ooh, what's that? I just parked outside your house. Cool. She said, I've lived here 5 years and I've never parked outside my house. Our God's a practical God. I won't say no more. But just, I just want to encourage you, because what happens when we pray small things like that, and God meets that need, then it encourages us to pray for bigger things. Because I tell you what, God wants us to pray for the big things.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Bob. Bless you. Bob's doing that all the time. He lives like that. Isn't that right, Bob?
Yes.
That's how you live. Every day of his life. You know, looking for that opportunity to pray for someone, just lead somebody to Christ, and what have you. So,
we went out on the street.
Come on, tell us. Because you all know Bruno, our evangelist and worship leader.
Yeah, I really get on well with Bruno. And we went out on the streets. And he's great. He really is. Anyway, we pray for people to be healed. And there's one giant chap, he was really touched, but he wouldn't admit it. But I knew he was touched. Anyway, there was a bit of a street party going on for the environment or something with stalls. So we went up there and was chatting to people. And Bruno turns around and said, what's that guy there with all that stuff hanging around his neck? I said, that's the Lord Mayor. Well, we need to go and talk to him, you see. So off he goes to the Lord Mayor. He stands there and starts talking to him. But I went to a meeting on Wednesday, and the Lord Mayor was there for pastors, 10-year, the street pastors, and they had a celebration, and the Lord Mayor was there. So I said to him, I said, when Bruno stopped, I said to him, I seen you on Wednesday. And he said, yeah, at the street pastor celebration, he said, yeah. I said, it's just great that you go and support that, and the council supports that, and the police support it. And so I got a real, I really got on really well with him. So then I started to talk about Christianity, because actually there was a guy there preaching really well. And I said, did you listen to what was being said? Yeah, we'll have a listen to this then. So I shared a testimony and I shared the gospel with him. And I just have to leave that with God. You know, not everybody responds straight away. But what an opportunity. To preach the gospel on a one-to-one with the Lord Mayor. And it was Bruno what started that. Yeah. There.
That didn't surprise me.
No.
He'll go in for his haircut and witness to them all whilst, you know, he's waiting for his haircut, well, Bruno. But I remember years ago, I prayed for a farmer, and he'd broken his leg. And he'd just come home with the pot on his leg. And he said, they're going to take the pot off in 7 weeks. All right. Well, I saw him 5 weeks later and he was chasing sheep. And he'd no pot on. I'd prayed for him. I said, look, do you want me to pray for you? And he came from one of these churches where they didn't believe in healing. So I just said, would you like me to pray for you? Then next thing you know, I mean, he's running around chasing sheep. So, same sort of thing.
I prayed for a farmer, and he came up to me.
He's a spirit-filled vicar, actually. And he said, I've hurt my leg, I'm playing rugby. And I said, well, let me pray for it. I prayed for it. He got healed, the vicar got healed. And then he asked me to go and do a healing meeting on a Sunday morning in the Church of England, this is. And the lady who was blind in one eye could see.
Very good. Amen. Hallelujah. So what we're doing this month is we're not just having these healing meetings on a Sunday evening where we're looking to the Lord to heal, okay? That's the idea behind it. But we're actually giving the whole month over of September where we're both taking on healing on a Sunday morning and looking at it in home groups during the week. Pressing into, we want to go to another level. Amen?